Traveling up this way, we were listening to Dwelling in Beulah Land, and I reminded my wife, I said, boy, do you remember back years ago, we were preaching in Clinton, and one of the deacons, and the name probably wouldn't register with you, but that was his favorite song. He would always call for that. And she said, how in the world do you remember things like that? And she said, you need to be remembering whenever I remind you of something. So I told her that that's always been something with me. I can remember some of the most obscure things. And you wouldn't want to sit down watching Jeopardy with me because yeah. At any rate, we're glad to be here today. Thankful for God's presence. Thankful for the songs that have been sung. Whenever that we sing anything about Beulah, I always am reminded of a chorus that sticks in my mind as a kid. And it goes something like this. Is not this the land of Beulah? Precious, precious land of light, where the flowers bloom forever and the sun is always bright. So every time, I appreciate that, but at any rate, I just remembered different songs like that about Beulah. Speaks about a land that we've never seen. Speaks about a place that we've never been to. Speaks of a place today that Jesus said when he was with his disciples for the final time before that he went to the cross. Lo, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And this is the hope that I have in my heart. And I pray today that we labor, that others might have that hope, that others might experience that peace with God. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. In the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we're going to start our reading lesson with the 19th verse. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. And while we turn there, this, of course, is written, I believe, by the Apostle Paul. It was before that the city of Jerusalem was attacked by Titus, the Roman emperor, and utterly laid to the ground. But nevertheless, I think that it has a very good title because it talks about that transition from the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, to the New. And so the next verse of Scripture that we want to read is from the Apostle Peter, and it is found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Also found in Psalms 55 and verse 22, where that it says words to this effect. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The latter part of what we read in your hearing with the 19th chapter or 19th verses of the 10th chapter of Hebrews and the 23rd verse, the latter part, stands out to me because he says, for he, that is God, that is Christ Jesus, is faithful in all that he promised. And even though we preach the cross and we preach the resurrection, that's not where that it ended. It goes on. That's the gospel today. It was meant to go on. And I know that sometimes in our celebrations of Easter and of Christmas, sometimes it's like we cut it off and we forget about it until the next year or the next season. But I find today that it goes on. It does not diminish. The truth of the gospel, the power of the gospel, is something that goes on and on and on. And as we believe God is going to lead us in the next few weeks, I'd like to just follow the trail of the gospel, the trail of the gospel of Christ, and how that it came down to us. Now, the gospel and the power of the gospel just didn't end right there after Christ's crucifixion. The Bible tells us that before that he ascended, he showed himself alive through many, many appearances, many proofs. Today, I hear scholars and so on and so forth say, well, Christ is not risen. His body is probably tucked away somewhere in the Middle East. And we need not even think that he was right. He was a good man with good principles. He was a good man with good thoughts to teach us how to live. But we cannot really consume and understand that someone could be resurrected. And I'm always convinced that if they had Christ's body, they would have presented it a long time ago, and our faith would have been in vain. But thanks be to God, they can't reach his body today, because he's seated up above at the right hand of the throne of God. He showed himself alive with many, many proofs for about 40 days to his disciples. That would be a long time to spend with someone, no doubt. But he instructed them. He taught them. There no doubt was people that saw him besides the disciples. The Apostle Paul will comment on that in the first chapter, or 1 Corinthians in the 7th chapter, 15th verse. But we find that he showed himself alive to the disciples and taught them and spoke to them of things pertaining unto the kingdom of God. And I want you to know that each and every one of us are citizens of the kingdom of God. The day that you were born again, the day that you were saved, the day that Christ Jesus redeemed you by his blood, you became a citizen of a different country altogether. Now, someone will say, well, I'm a citizen of the United States, and that's good. But I want you to know we're citizens of two countries. This country that we reside in, and then that heavenly country that in our resurrection or at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to be with him. We're going to rise from this place and we'll occupy the city that he has gone to prepare. Our faith is founded upon something that is real today. It's not founded upon something that's imagined. It's not founded upon memory. But it's founded upon the living Christ. Today, you can go to every religion in this world, and you'll find that their founders have passed away, that their founders have died, that there is a tomb for them, and they're remembered kind of post-mortem, so to speak. But our founder overcame death, hell, and the grave. And today, the memorial to him is not a tomb where his bones are laying. It's not a place where his body resides, but it's a tomb where the stone has been rolled back. And I want you to know that he rolled it, or that the power of God rolled it back for our benefit, for our understanding and for our faith, and to help us whenever that we become doubtful. He didn't He didn't become absent. He didn't just arise from the grave and just go and sit down on a rock and say, Peter, go fishing, bring me a fish. Or, brethren, go into the city, bring me bread. But he was with them. In fact, the Bible says in one place, it said, we handled him. In other words, we touched him. We hugged him. We were there with him. We heard him speak. And you know, that's the only way that men that were fearful for their lives at the time of his crucifixion would all of a sudden be spreading the gospel of the Son of God, of his resurrection, of the fact that man can be made free and can have the hope of a home in heaven. He is reigning today in heaven. Now, we find that the Bible teaches us that as he physically was upon this earth, when he resurrected, he was in a different type of body. Now, someone will say, well, you know, he resurrected Lazarus and he resurrected the young man in Cana and also in Nain, but those weren't resurrections. Those were bringing individuals back from the dead, and there is a difference today. Christ rose, he was resurrected, a glorified body. He could pass, if he was here today, through this wall, back to the kitchen, and sit down and, I don't know, eat biscuits and gravy with us, perhaps. But my friend, I want you to know and understand today that he arose and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of God. He didn't retreat. He's not in heaven today, retreated and just sitting by. Now, there are some people that believe today that whenever that God even created everything, and whenever that God brought things into being, and whenever that Christ fulfilled all righteousness by his death on the cross, there's some people that believe, well, he just went over here and just, you know, just kind of biding his time, and you know, you all get by the best way that you can. He's still active. He is still moving. He is still saving today. And someone will say, well, when is he going to save? My friend, he'll save when that sinner repents of his sins. And whenever that he comes in faith, believing. And I know there's some people that say, well, I don't like this head knowledge thing. Let me tell you something. God doesn't save against an individual's will. And he does not, my friend, do anything against that person. But my friend, you have to have faith. When Paul preached in the 5th chapter of the book of the Roman letter, he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And my friend, if you've not had faith towards him, but your faith is in something you did, or how high you jumped, or what you said, or how loud you shouted, those things are fine. But it comes down to a heart work. It comes down to, do you have peace with God? Do you have that assurance? Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? You have to believe today. I like movies. Boy, I used to be able to tell you every movie and who starred in it and whatnot. But there's one always sticks in my mind. And it is an individual that he has to go across a big expanse. There's a huge drop-off. And he's got to get across to the other side. And as he is contemplating this, he says, I can't jump across. He said, I can't go around it. I can't climb down. I can't do any of those things. And that's how it was whenever that you were saved. You could not do anything to save yourself and get across that expanse. But what it came down to, he had in that movie. And you might say today, well, you shouldn't take the gospel from the movies. You know, sometimes God uses things like that. Do you know that? Sometimes he uses things like that to get our attention. Whenever I saw that, I thought, man, that's the way salvation is. He had to believe that he could step out in that expanse and something would catch him and hold him. And he said, well, he said, it's an act of faith. And I thought, boy, Spielberg, you know more about it than we realize. So he took the step and his foot landed. And I'm not going to try to duplicate that today. But his foot landed, and it landed on something solid. Let me tell you, when you exercise faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ, your foot landed upon something solid. What was it? It was a rock. What was that rock? That rock is Christ Jesus today. He is the rock that we build our spiritual house on. And today, my friend, I want you to know that if you've done all these things possible, but you've not put faith in Him, my friend, you better get on your knees and find out what your salvation is based upon. But I'm confident today, people that I've talked to here, that you know what I'm talking about whenever I talk about a born-again experience and a no-so salvation. So we find that Christ, after he had resurrected, the Bible says he did not go into hiding, but he took up his rightful place. He was going to ascend unto the Father. He was going to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know that no one else can sit in that place? No one else can occupy the right hand of the throne of God. That's reserved only for one person. And I want to tell you something today. We may have wonderful conquerors, people that have been heroes, people that have been wonderful leaders, but my friend, there's none like the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none, my friend, that can match what he has done and what he can do today. And so he reminds us today that he is King of Kings and of Lord of Lords. The Bible says that in taking the crown to himself, he is the King. I don't have any other king. I know we got a king that's coming over to this country pretty soon. And you know, I do admire the royals. And you know, it would be neat to live over there. That's always been a pipe dream of my wife and I, to live and go to Buckingham Palace and see all the pageantry and hold the Union Jack up and everything like that. But I want to tell you, that's not my king. That's not my king. And my friend also, when I say this with deepest respect, whoever sits within the office of a president, I'm thankful for him today. But that's not my king. That's not my king. You might say, Kofor, what's your king today? God grant me the grace that it ever comes down to making a choice between this and the Lord Jesus Christ and facing martyrdom, that God helps me to make the right choice, because it may happen someday. I pray that it doesn't, but it may happen someday. And so he is king. He's in control. He's omnipotent today. There is nothing he cannot do. There is no one today that he cannot save. Did you know that today? Well, my friend, he saved one of the worst on the road to Damascus one day. And you know, I've never disputed anything in the Bible at all until I read this by the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom that I am chief. I am the chiefest of sinners. I am the one that should have suffered death and should have been punished for my sins. But thanks be unto God, he took my place. And I pray that he takes the place of everyone that will seek him today. And so we can say today that he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is interceding today. He's interceding for you and I. My friend, he is very much aware of the problems in your life today. You might say, well, you know, he's good to worship on a Sunday. He's good to worship whenever that we all come together. He's good to worship whenever that we sing the songs about Him. But my friend, I want you to know He wants to walk with you, not just whenever that you come to church. Not whenever that you sing the song. That is good. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. But my friend, today, He wants to walk with you day by day. Day by day. And that's the only way that any of us are going to be able to make it in this world, to be able to stave off the worries and the cares and the trials and what's going on in the world. That's the only way today. And I want you to know that there's no other name. There's no other Savior. There's no other friend. There's no other one that can understand what we go through today. My friend, He's not far off someplace, and He's not concerned about what's going on with us. He's very much concerned. And don't let Satan tell you that Jesus doesn't care, because He does care. I love the song that says, "Does Jesus care when things like this happen to me? Does He care?" And then the chorus says, "Oh, yes, He cares. Oh, yes, He cares. His heart is filled with my grief. When the days are lonely, the long nights dreary." He said, "I know that my Savior cares today." Peter says, "Cast all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Notice what he says there. He says, in a sense, physically, to cast the cares that you've got upon Him. Cast what is burdening you. Cast what is your concern today. Cast whatever that it is that is troubling you, that you don't see a solution to, that you don't know how that you're going to manage this. Cast that care. It's an action verb. Now, I'm not trying to give an English lesson, but think about what he says here. He says, cast your care upon Him. Now, the other part of that is also an action verb, but in a different sense. Cast all your care upon Him, for what? He cares for you. Don't forget this. If you go away with nothing else in this service today, please remember that. Please understand that today. Then He has proven His care for us today. Now, someone might say, "Well, you know, He feels like He's far away, and when I pray, I just can't feel anything. I know that there's something wrong." Sometimes there's periods of silence whenever that God does not answer. You know, you read about the prophet Daniel over in one place, and he was praying, and finally, the archangel Michael came, and he said, "Michael, where were you? I was praying. I want an answer. I want to know this great mystery." And Michael says, "I was fighting the king of Persia." He was doing spiritual battle, actually, against the forces of evil and against the powers and principalities and the evil things of this world. Do you know today that if we could pull the curtain back, we would see an ongoing, never-ending battle of God against Satan, against the archangels and the angels and the cherubims, against the demons and against the devils, and so on and so forth. And you might say, "Well, I don't know if I believe in demons." Boy, you better read over in some of the writings of the Apostle Paul, because he encourages us. He encourages us to get our spiritual armor on, because he said, just as sure as anything, Satan is not going to come after the lost. He's going to come after the saved individual, the people of God. And he's going to try to kill their testimony, or he's going to try to discourage or make them feel as though God does not care. My friend, we feel that sometimes. But sometimes God is silent for a reason. Do you know there are times whenever I pray and I think my prayers haven't gone any further than that. And I just kind of put the Bible down and I just, gee, is there anything to any of this? But then God comes on the scene later on. He said, if you'd just been a little bit more patient, I would have answered you. Kind of sounds like a father chastising his son, doesn't he? Well, he's my heavenly Father. He's yours also. And sometimes whenever that we don't feel His presence or know that He is there, we're not aware of it. It's not because oftentimes that we've done something wrong, we may have, but most of the time it is that we take the time to meditate and listen for the answer. You mean God speaks? Yeah, He does. God speaks. My mother, when I first started out trying to preach, you know, I got just so discouraged sometimes. And it's like, I can't get in touch with God. I can't even speak. My mother said, and I know that she meant it in a good way, but she said, Paul, if God can make Balaam's donkey speak, she can help you to speak. And I found that to be true. And I want you to know that He sometimes speaks through things like that. What would you do today if your cattle spoke to you and said, I've got a message from the Lord. Would you believe it today? You might say, no, nothing like that's ever going to happen. You don't know. But He speaks to us sometimes through other people. I can be driving and see someone, and all of a sudden, God just brings something to me. I can't explain it. I woke up, and I know I've told this time and time again, I woke up on a Wednesday morning, and the day, night before, I'd argued with my wife that, no, I'm not going to take that church, I'm not going to preach anymore, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. My friend, I woke up Wednesday morning and I was in complete, wholehearted agreement with God that if you want me to be pastor and to preach, I will do the best that I know how. Brother, I wish you could have been there and heard this. It was like Samuel had heard the voice of God. Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. But my friend, it's not just to preachers alone. It's to every one of His children today. He walked out of that tomb. But my friend, He did not leave us hopelessly without any resource, without anything today. My friend, He is still concerned about what's going on in your life today. I know I'm kind of switching around a little bit, but you know, I believe sometimes we relegate God just for the religious part of it or the faith part of it, and that's good and that's what it should be. But my friend, He's very much concerned, my friend, about where your car keys are whenever you can't find them. You might say, that's the most silly thing I ever heard of. I never have lost my car keys. Well, you're going to think I'm crazy. You're going to think, Paul, your learning has made you mad. Crazy. But I could not find this one time. I searched and searched and searched and searched, and I was afraid to ask my wife. But I just said a simple prayer, Lord, help me to find these. These things are expensive. You know, He kind of directed me. I sat down at my desk, and there they were. And He said, they're just right there where you left them. There are times whenever that I've prayed, Lord, let me understand something in your word. Let me tell you something, this Bible is far more, this is far more than just the ink on paper. It's the very word of God. It's the heart of God. And I can't stand here and say today that I understand every bit of it today. But I know this much, that if you ask Him to open up to you today, He will do it. Ask and you shall receive. Now, my dad used to quote that in a testimony. Nice. Boy, I don't know how he put up with me, but a smart aleck that I was, I'd say, well, Dad, ask him for $1 million. See if he did. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. My friend, He desires, my friend, to walk with you, to be with you, to shoulder your burdens and shoulder everything that you go through today. As we close our few remarks, I want to tell you something today. As we follow this journey of the gospel, we're going to find that the disciples had to depend upon God for everything. They had to pray and ask God for all things. They had to reach out unto God and ask Him to protect them, to keep them, to open up things to them. And God did. And you know, we're no different than they are. Because you know, if we have Him walking with us, you can just turn to Him and breathe a prayer. And He will hear. Because He's silent sometimes doesn't mean He's not listening and He's not concerned. You can turn to Him and you can pray a prayer for someone or pray a prayer for understanding, for wisdom, for anything today. Especially comfort whenever the sickness comes and you don't know what you're going to do. Or someone passes away. And the grief is so heavy that it just drains you today. Christ understands that today. He stood at the tomb of Lazarus and He moaned within Himself and He wept. So He understands. And whenever that burden gets to be so much that you can't bear it, you can turn to Him. And He will understand what you're going through. He won't chastise you, but He may lead you to do something completely different, to take your heart away from the heartache and the worry today. I'd like to go on, but I better close as God would direct me and lead me today. But I hope today that you'll take this with you, just like the apostles. As they were about to go out, and we'll see what they went through, and we'll see how that they turned to the Lord, and we'll see today how that He heard and answered their prayers. You know, one of the first things they had to do, and that they remembered He said that they should do, tarry you in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. In other words, go to Jerusalem, to the upper room, and you pray. They didn't know what was going to come, but boy, there was the start. There was the beginning. And my friend, if you want to know if it was successful, came through the fire and the blade and everything, look around you, look behind you, look before you. There's what the gospel did. And we want to encourage you today to follow that.